And please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter 8. Tonight we are going to continue our study of Leviticus by looking at chapter 8, a very important chapter in this book that records the ordination of Aaron and his sons as priests to serve in the house of God, the tabernacle. This chapter and the next chapter are critical to understanding the message of Leviticus, and we are going to spend some time in these two chapters. So tonight will be our first time to look at chapter 8, and I do want to read the whole chapter. So Leviticus chapter 8, and beginning in verse 1, before we hear God's word, let's pray together once again. O Lord, our Lord, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your works of creation and providence, and supremely in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Father, we thank you for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our trespasses, the reconciliation that he has achieved for us as our faithful, obedient federal head, our great high priest who has passed probation and has ascended into heaven and is enthroned at your right hand as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray, Father, that you would show us from the Scriptures how you were pre-enacting Christ and his work in the Old Covenant through the sacrificial system in the tabernacle and through the priest which you ordained to serve in your house. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus 8, and beginning in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bowl of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting." And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done." And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the coat on him and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim. And he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. And he sprinkled some of it on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils and the basin and its stand to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waists and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he brought the bowl of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bowl of the sin offering, and he killed it. And Moses took the blood and with his finger put it on the horns of the altar around it and purified the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. And he took all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the 2 kidneys with their fat, and Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull and its skin and its flesh and its dung he burned up with fire outside the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the ram of the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it, and Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head and the pieces and the fat. He washed the entrails and the legs with water, and Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering for the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then he presented the other ram, the ram of ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and he killed it, and Moses took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he presented Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the big toes of their right feet. And Moses threw the blood against the sides of the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with their fat and the right thigh. And out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened loaf and one loaf of bread with oil and one wafer and placed them on the pieces of fat and on the right thigh. And he put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar with the burnt offering. This was an ordination offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' portion of the ram of ordination, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his sons, and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and there eat it and the bread that is in the basket of ordination offerings as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And what remains of the flesh and the bread you shall burn up with fire. And you shall not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed, for it will take 7 days to ordain you. As has been done today, the Lord has commanded to be done to make atonement for you. At the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die, for so I have been commanded. And Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord commanded by Moses. This is the word of God. Now, this chapter is all about Aaron and his sons being ordained and installed as priests to serve in the house of God. The tabernacle is the house of God. Aaron was ordained as the high priest, and his four sons were ordained as regular priests. Now, in the providence of God, we witnessed here at Providence an ordination service last Sunday. One of our own members was ordained and installed as an elder. And by means of an ordination ceremony that did not last 7 days, but just a few moments, he was placed into the office of elder to fulfill the ministry of an elder. Now, that's what an ordination service does. It places someone into an office in order to fulfill the ministry of that office. Now, by means of an ordination ceremony, here in Leviticus 8, Aaron was placed into the office of high priest in order to carry out the ministry, the service of the high priest. And likewise, his sons were placed into the office of priest, or regular priest, to fulfill the ministry associated with that office. Now, one thing we need to know is the difference between a high priest and a regular priest. What's the difference between those two kinds of priest? Well, one difference between them is their number. There are several regular priests, but there can be only one high priest at a time. When Aaron died, the office of high priest was transferred to one of his sons, but when he was alive, he alone was the high priest. And the one who succeeded Aaron in that office was the sole high priest until at his death, the high priesthood was transferred to someone else, and so on. And so one difference between the office of high priest and the office of regular priest is that there can only be one high priest at a time. But why does the law of Moses even distinguish between two kinds of priest? Why does it distinguish between a high priest and an ordinary priest at all? The distinction between the high priest and the ordinary priest comes from the division of the sanctuary into two chambers, the holy place and the holy of holies, the most holy place. Inside the sanctuary of the tabernacle was a curtain, a veil, that separated those two chambers from each other, the holy place and the holy of holies. And that division of the sanctuary into two parts accounts for the division of the priesthood into two offices. One office corresponds to the holy place. The other office corresponds to the holy of holies, the most holy place. And so the two offices of the priesthood correspond to the two chambers of the sanctuary. Now that can be demonstrated in a few ways. I'll give you just two. One is, there's a direct connection between office and access. Office and access to the sanctuary. The office of regular priest granted the one who held that office access to the first chamber of the sanctuary, the holy place. And likewise, the office of high priest granted the one who held that office access to the inner chamber of the sanctuary, the holy of holies, the most holy place. So there's a direct link between the two offices of the priesthood and access to the two chambers of the sanctuary. That's one reason we know that the twofold division of the sanctuary accounts for the two offices in the priesthood. Now the second reason is this: the difference between the clothing of the high priest and the clothing of the regular priest corresponds to the different materials used in the two chambers of the sanctuary. The articles of clothing that God prescribed for the ordinary priest replicate the holy place. They correspond to and replicate the holy place. But the articles of clothing that God prescribed for the high priest replicate the Holy of Holies. So again, we see a correspondence between the twofold division of the sanctuary into those two chambers, the first chamber, holy place, second chamber, Holy of Holies, and the two offices of the priesthood. The office of high priest and his clothing are linked to the Holy of Holies, and the office of ordinary priest and their clothing to the holy place. So in the ordination, we can put it this way, in the ordination ceremony here in Leviticus chapter 8, the four sons of Aaron are put into an office that gave them access to the first chamber in the sanctuary, and the garments that they were vested in, that is, the garments they were clothed in their ordination, replicate that chamber, the first chamber of the sanctuary. Aaron, on the other hand, was put into an office that gave him access to the Holy of Holies, and the garments that he was clothed in the ordination ceremony correspond to and replicate the Holy of Holies. The sacred garments that Moses dressed them in during their ordination enabled them to enter the respective realms of the holy sanctuary that corresponded to their holy garments and the offices that those garments symbolized. So to understand the theological significance of the garments here in Leviticus 8, we have to see how those garments are connected to the tabernacle. That's the big picture that we need to keep in mind. There's a connection between the garments worn by the high priest and the priest, the ordinary priest, and the tabernacle itself. The garments are just as sacred, the garments are just as holy as the tabernacle itself. In fact, the design for the garments was given to Moses when God gave him the plans for the tabernacle. When Moses was about to build the tabernacle, God said to him, in Exodus 25, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." And that pattern, which Moses saw on the mountain, included the priestly garments, the priestly vestments. So the vestments worn by the high priest and the ordinary priest belong to the same category as the tabernacle itself and all its furnishings. It shouldn't surprise us then that the same material used for the tabernacle was used to make the priestly garments. Now, we'll look at those garments more closely in just a minute, but first I want to go back to the beginning of the chapter and look at how the ordination service began. If you look at Leviticus 8, verse 1 again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bull of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting." So Aaron and his sons here are about to be ordained and installed, and Moses needed to gather them and to gather all the items that were to be used in that ordination ceremony and bring them to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. The ordination ceremony, which would last 7 full days, would take place inside the tabernacle, and the whole congregation of Israel was to assemble at the entrance of the tent of meeting in order to witness Aaron's ordination and the ordination of his sons. Of course, it was impossible for all the Israelites to fit inside the courtyard of the tabernacle, and so probably what happened, most likely what happened, was that the elders of Israel, as representatives of the whole nation, were allowed into the courtyard to witness the event while the rest of the people were assembled outside the entrance of the tent of meeting. And when they were all assembled together, Moses said to them, this is in verse 5 of chapter 8, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water." Now, this is the beginning of the ordination service. The ordination ceremony began with a washing with water, a ritual purification. Aaron and his sons had to be ritually clean or pure, ritually clean or pure. Moses washed them with water in order to remove from their bodies any ritual defilement or impurity that might be there. They were about to make a transition from the common realm to the holy realm, and in order for that to happen, they first of all had to be ritually clean. Now, why is that? Well, if a person were to touch a holy object, which these men were about to do, while a ritual uncleanness was on him, he would be severely punished by God. Now, we saw that in the previous chapter, Leviticus chapter 7, regarding the food for the peace offerings. So what does Moses do at the very beginning of the service? He washes them with water as a ritual purification in order to remove any trace of ritual defilement, of ceremonial uncleanness from Aaron and his sons. And he had to do that because they were about to come into contact with something holy. Specifically, they were about to come into contact with their new clothing, those garments that were holy, just as the tabernacle itself. And so the very next thing Moses does after washing them is he dresses them. He dresses Aaron with the articles of clothing prescribed by God for the high priest, and then he dresses Aaron's sons with the garments appointed by God for them. So verse 7, "And he," Moses, "put the coat on him," it's Aaron, "and tied the sash around his waist and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod on him and tied the skillfully woven band of the ephod around him, binding it to him with the band. And he placed the breast piece on him, and in the breast piece he put the Urim and the Thummim, and he set the turban on his head, and on the turban in front he set the gold plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. And having vested Aaron as the high priest, Moses then vested his sons." In verse 13, "Moses brought Aaron's sons and clothed them with coats and tied sashes around their waist and bound caps on them as the Lord commanded Moses." Now, the details of these articles of clothing used here are given more explicitly in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 28, and later in Exodus when they are actually created. And we'll look at those details, we'll look at the details more closely at a later time. and I'll make some comments on their theological significance. But tonight, the first thing I want to do is I want us to get the big picture in mind of what's going on here. What is this all about? What is this removing of common clothes and putting on of these sacred clothes symbolize? What is that about? Well, as I've noted, the garments are sacred. They are holy. They are just as holy as the tabernacle and its furnishings. In fact, they belong to the same category as the tabernacle and its furniture. The holy garments with which Aaron and his sons were clothed in their ordination could not leave the holy realm. These garments could not be worn outside of the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons would later leave the tabernacle, but before doing so, they had to take off these holy garments and put on regular clothes, put on common clothes. And by dressing Aaron and his sons in these sacred garments, Moses was doing something very significant to them. He was putting them in the holy realm. Now, the holy realm in Leviticus and in the Pentateuch more broadly, and in fact in the Old Covenant in general, the holy realm is distinguished from the common realm. And the common realm is further divided into clean and unclean. So you've got these different realms. You have the holy realm. The common is further divided into clean, the clean realm, and the unclean realm, which is outside the camp of Israel. The holy garments belong to the holy realm, and those who are clothed in those holy garments gain access to the holy realm. And the distinction between the holy realm and the common realm is a replica of the distinction between heaven and earth. Heaven is the holy realm. It's the true holy realm. And earth is the common realm. So the holy realm in Israel, in the tabernacle, that's the holy realm, is the earthly counterpart to heaven itself. It is the earthly projection of heaven. Heaven itself is projected here onto the earth, and it is a holy realm because of that. And just as the Spirit of God inhabits heaven, the Spirit of God dwells in the tabernacle and consecrates it as a holy realm. So heaven is the holy realm. It's the holy realm because it is the realm of the glory Spirit of God. Now, we have in our study of Genesis chapter 1 and in our Sunday school class this morning in particular, we heard our teacher, Dr. Lane Tipton, say that God stretched out the invisible heaven like a tent in the beginning and filled it with His glory Spirit. He was using Psalm 104, verse 2 in particular, to make that point, that God stretched out the heavens like a tent. He stretched it out like a tabernacle, a tent, a dwelling place for Himself, and then He filled that heavenly tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man, made without hands. He filled it with His glory Spirit. That's the holy realm. That's the true holy realm. It's the realm of the Spirit. And Aaron and his sons, here's the point, by taking Aaron and his sons and clothing them with these sacred garments, these holy garments, Moses is putting them into the holy realm. Moses is symbolically, okay, that we're speaking in terms of types, shadows, symbols now. Moses is symbolically translating Aaron and his sons from the earthly realm to the heavenly realm. They were symbolically translated from earth to heaven, the earthly realm to the heavenly realm. They moved from the common realm to the holy realm, or symbolically speaking, the earthly realm to the heavenly realm, when they are clothed in these sacred garments, which correspond to the tabernacle and are made from the same materials as the tabernacle. Now, that's an important point to remember, too. In other words, I'll say it a little differently. By putting off their common clothes, earthly clothes, and putting on their sacred clothes, their heavenly clothes, they are being symbolically translated from earth to heaven, and they become, in this act of investiture, when they are vested, when they are clothed with these garments, they become living tabernacles. They themselves, it's as if they're wearing the tabernacle, right? The clothes they wear are made from the exact same materials used to build the tabernacle, and the clothes they wear are replicas of the tabernacle. The ordinary priests are wearing a replica of the holy place, the high priest a replica of the Holy of Holies. And it's as if they themselves have become living tabernacles. They embody in themselves what the tabernacle was. So they're like personal, walking, living tabernacles. Now this is very important for understanding the theological significance of their ordination and of their clothing in these garments, because they symbolically here, in the form of a type, a shadow, they prefigure the one who is the true living tabernacle. Now, who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the true living tabernacle. Now, where do we get that? One place we get it is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. John chapter 1 talks about the Word that was in the beginning with God, the Word that was God, through whom all things were made, and without whom nothing was made that has been made. And John tells us in verse 14 of his Gospel, chapter 1, John 1:14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, here's what I want to point out from that verse. The word that in the English Standard Version is translated dwelt is literally tabernacled. Tabernacled. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you have the Old Testament type, and then you have Christ, who is the reality, the truth, the substance, which is symbolically foreshadowed or prefigured in the Old Testament. Christ is the living tabernacle that the high priest becomes a type of when he is clothed with the tabernacle. He's wearing the tabernacle. He's a living tabernacle, and he's functioning in that role, in that office, as a type of Christ, who is the true tabernacle. So there's the connection. This is where we're going with it. Christ as the living tabernacle is the true high priest. The high priest in the Old Testament is only a type of the true. He's only a copy of the true. Christ is the true high priest. And this is one reason why the Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Revelation, when he appears in the vision to John, the same author of the gospel who said that he was made flesh and tabernacled among us, when Christ appeared to him, he appears dressed as a high priest. And not only is he dressed as a high priest, he's in the sanctuary. He's in the heavenly sanctuary. The sanctuary that he entered into when he ascended into heaven. So the high priest in the Old Testament was put into that office, symbolized by the garments he wore, because he's going to ascend Mount Zion into the Holy of Holies. Again, he's functioning as a type of the true high priest, Christ, the true living tabernacle, who would ascend into the true heavenly sanctuary. And when he appears to John in Revelation chapter 1, he appears dressed as a high priest. And he's in the midst of golden lampstands. There again, you can see the sanctuary connection. John turned, he said, to see the voice of the one that was speaking to him. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The description of his clothing is taken from the high priest's clothing. His hairs, the hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. So this is the true high priest, the true living tabernacle that has been glorified. He has put on his heavenly glorified body. His face is shining like the sun, shining in full strength. So this is where the high priest was in the Old Testament symbolically going in the form of a type. He was ascending into heaven, symbolically ascending into heaven by ascending Mount Zion into the Holy of Holies. What he only did in the form of a type, Christ has done in truth, in spirit and in truth, in the reality.